And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you all had a wonderful weekend. Had an opportunity, because I know this is Tuesday, not Monday, but still hope you had a wonderful weekend. Hope you had an opportunity to rest and relax, and that your week is getting started with great energy and a tremendous drive to do the things that you need to do. I had Matt Staver on my conference call today, and he was updating us on some things that are happening with the United States Supreme Court. And I'm going to get into that with you, because we really need to be praying for the Supreme Court, because I asked him a very pointed question, which I'm going to share with you in just a second. But before we get to that, I want to remind you that the Stand Awards dinner is happening on May the 17th, Tuesday, May the 17th. In fact, for those of you watching me live stream, there's the flyer right there. I'm holding it up to the camera. For those of you just listening to me on the radio, you can also see me live stream. In fact, we're working that out so that you'll be able to watch me on the AFR live stream channel. But that's going to take place on Tuesday, May 17th at 7 p.m. at the Tyson's Corner Marriott. That's 8028 Leesburg Pike in Tyson's Corner. You can get more about this at the Stand America website. That's standamerica.us, standamerica.us. And we're giving the George Washington Award for Taking a Stand to five worthy recipients: Mark Gonzalez, president of the U.S. Hispanic Action Network; Mary Graybar, author of Debunking the 1619 Project; Jason Johnson, executive director of the Law Enforcement Defense Fund. These people are all doing great things, by the way, folks. Mark Robinson, lieutenant governor of North Carolina, and Winsome Sears, lieutenant governor of Virginia. All people who have taken a stand, these elected officials that I mentioned, we're honoring them because they got elected without compromising who they are. You know, a lot of times people get elected by, quote, sort of soft peddling who they are and trying to de-emphasize who they really are, for good or for bad. Sometimes they're trying to hide that they're conservative, but sometimes they're trying to pretend they're conservative when they're really not. But these are authentic people. And the other folks I mentioned, you may not have heard of them. Mary Graybar's book, Debunking the 1619 Project, is a book that every American ought to read, because it just gives the lie to this Nicole Hannah Jones garbage that she won some kind of Pulitzer Prize for that piece of trash, claiming that America's true founding was when the slaves arrived. I mean, it's just silliness. First of all, the first Africans to arrive in this country were not intergenerational slaves. They were indentured servants, just like the people who came here from Europe, and they came here for work. Now, their arrival here may have been a little bit more complicated, because I think they were on a ship going elsewhere, and that ship was commandeered and ultimately ended up in America, but they served their time as indentured servants and then went on to do other things. The most famous of them is Anthony Johnson. Anthony Johnson came here as Antonio. I forget exactly where he came from, but he was an indentured servant, I think, for about 4 years. He then got a land grant for 50 acres, ended up with 200 acres plus on the Eastern Shore of Virginia. He was black, folks, and he ended up owning slaves himself. Yeah. I mean, so the history that we are given is so skewed. It is not honest history. It's a polemic against the country. Because the first question that would be raised is, well, wait a minute, why would a black man own slaves? Because it's not the skin, it's the sin. Because he saw an opportunity to have people working for him and he took it. He didn't think, oh, I can't do that. I'm black too. I'm from Africa. I won't. No, he just, in fact, the famous case of suing John Kasor to make John Kasor fulfill another African, by the way, to make John Kasor fulfill his time serving Anthony Johnson as an indentured servant. and he left too early, according to Anthony Johnson. Anthony Johnson sued him in court in Virginia, and that was the first case in which a court declared that an indentured servant owed a lifetime of servitude, and that was for a black man to be a lifetime slave to another black man. That's the first, that's an historic case. And that ought to tell us something, which is this polemic of the white people, and it's just a lot of garbage, just a lot of silliness. I don't want to get off on that because, as you all know, I can preach on that a while, you know, because here again, evil doesn't have a race. Evil doesn't have a skin color. The subjugation of people doesn't have an ethnicity or a demography. It's happened all over the world. And by the way, it's still happening today. And may I just add that it was Western civilization, not the Middle East, not Africa, not Asia, but Western civilization that developed a theology and ideology that said the enslavement of other human beings is wrong. That theology did not develop in Africa. It did not develop in Asia. It did not develop in the Middle East, which is why Muslims are still enslaving people. And there's no moral condemnation to it. We here in America would condemn it wherever it happens. So at any rate, like I said, I could preach on that a while, so let me stop there before I go any further on that one. But folks, this is what the American people need to hear, the truth. And so at our dinner, we're going to be honoring people who are willing to speak the truth without apology. So I hope you'll come. Remember, complimentary tickets are available because of the generous donations of our sponsors, especially American Family Radio. So for you American Family Radio listeners who are in the area, and even if you're not, if you want to drive up, come on, the tickets won't cost you anything. Email us at awardsdinner@standamerica.us in order to get your tickets. Just claim your two tickets. And by the way, we are making an exception. Two for each person, two tickets, but we will make an exception for young people. So if you've got young people, teenagers, who you want to have this experience, who you want to be a part of this, we will provide complimentary tickets for them until we don't have any more. And we're not exactly sure when that will happen. We don't have an unlimited number of complimentary tickets, but we do have quite a few right now. And so I just encourage you, take advantage of this while it lasts, okay? Because eventually I'll come on and say, folks, sorry, we're out of them. So make the most of it while you can, and feel free, husbands, wives, work colleagues, two tickets per person. But yes, if young people in your family, in your organization want to come, we will happily accommodate them because we want young people to experience this. You know, we've got Youth Taking a Stand, YTS. In fact, our president of Youth Taking a Stand will be speaking at the awards dinner to talk a little bit about our commitment to outreach to youth. Okay, wanted to get that out of the way. There's so much to talk about today, and I want to get to the phone calls, your phone calls earlier today. I guess the first thing that we got to at least mention, maybe free speech is about to have a resurgence. And you know, this kind of reminds me of Donald Trump. I mean, not that they're alike or anything like that, but just who would have thought that Donald Trump would be the guy who would defend evangelical Christians and our rights? Who would have thought that Elon Musk would be a champion for free speech? He's now bought Twitter, and things may be about to change. Thank God. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
As President Joe Biden was leaving the NATO summit in Europe, he talked about his belief that the U.S. should lead in this new world order. No one in the administration felt this remarkable comment should be cleaned up or clarified or corrected. Fortunately, Colonel Oliver North felt that it was worthy of some comment. The idea of a New World Order goes back to the 1940s when H.G. Wells published his nonfiction book on the New World Order. He is best known as the science fiction writer who penned The War of the Worlds. He was also a collectivist who believed that a global government was the best way to protect human rights. Today, the phrase New World Order is used to promote the idea of removing national boundaries, an international body that would be given the task of promoting global policies for the environment, like the Green New Deal, along with other utopian and socialist programs. Colonel North argues that a Biden New World Order would be one where the federal government will dictate whether Americans can forswear fossil fuels while our elites fly around in private jets. In the Biden New World Order, the People's Republic of China will remain ascendant in economic and military power. China is working to control valuable mineral resources and take over Taiwan and its microchip production. He also observes that despite the genocide being perpetuated by Russia in Ukraine, Moscow still intends to use its fossil fuels to control Europe and is helping Iran become a nuclear power that threatens Israel. He concludes by arguing that conservative patriots must retake the House of Representatives and Senate in November 2022 and the White House in 2024. It's time to pay attention to who you are electing to Congress and the presidency. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Inflation, go to viewpoints.info/inflation. That's viewpoints.info/inflation.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. Listeners in India are hearing the gospel, some for the first time, and are so moved by the good news that they just have to share it. The Tide Ministry is so encouraged to receive letters from listeners who hear the message of Christ and are compelled to write to us about their encounters with Jesus. Like this Bengali listener who wrote, "I've come to know that Jesus Christ is the only God who can save me from my sins. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." We are so thankful for these salvation stories, and we pray that those who have come to know Christ through our radio programs are also helping us in our mission to share the good news by telling their neighbors. To learn how you can pray for and encourage people in India whose lives have been eternally impacted by hearing the good news of Christ in their own language, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Now, the discussion of the awards dinner provides a perfect segue into the first topic I really want to put before you, or the second topic, maybe I should say, because Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter is the first. How do you all feel about that, by the way? You know, I was kicked off of Twitter. And now the question is, am I going to go back? I really still did have an account, an organizational account, but once they deprived me of the thousands of followers that I had on Twitter, I just got disgusted with it and just walked away, and I haven't really been active on Twitter since. But that aside, one of the people we're honoring at the awards dinner is Jason Johnson. Jason Johnson's the executive director of the Law Enforcement Defense Fund. And folks, in addition to the fact that these George Soros-type prosecutors are trying to put police officers in jail instead of putting criminals in jail, they want to let the criminals go. They want to prosecute the police officers. We have got an unprecedented level of violent attacks on police. Christopher Wray, even Christopher Wray, yes. When Christopher Wray says that there is a crisis of attacks and violence against police, you know there's a problem, because Christopher Wray is just, he's out to lunch as far as I'm concerned. Oh, I mean, he really is. Yeah, Christopher Wray is the guy who told us that the greatest threat to America is white supremacy. Yeah, right. Yeah, but ask that of the people who are being victimized by crime on a daily basis across this country. Ask them if it's white supremacists that are threatening them. I mean, But even with that, when asked what he thought was the cause, he said, well, COVID didn't hurt. I mean, COVID didn't help. Yeah, COVID's the cause. Yeah, that's why police officers are being ambushed in an unprecedented way. Yeah, and folks, in other words, they're not just being murdered in circumstances where they get into a gunfight with a bad guy or they're in a dangerous situation and they lose their lives trying to defend themselves and to defend the public. Now, we're talking about situations where they are lured into circumstances for the purpose of being murdered, ambush killings, or where they are just sitting or driving in their patrol cars and shots are fired into the patrol car with the intent of killing them simply because they are cops. One cop, I haven't read this op-ed, but they say a cop wrote an op-ed, happens to be a black police officer, said went into a domestic violence situation where a man had beaten, I mean, just brutally beaten his spouse, I guess, and then tried to get away. They ran him down. A crowd surrounded them and made them the bad guys. Called them, and these were both black police officers, apparently. Called them racist and called them, I mean, that's what's causing this, Director Ray. It's not COVID, but it's this atmosphere, it's this culture of anti-police bigotry, of the fact that police are inherently bad, inherently racist, inherently evil, and everybody ought to hate them. You ought to cut their budgets, you ought to cut them out, you ought to just do away with them. Well, that mindset is rampant in our country today, and particularly among the left. They've made a fetish out of hating police. And that fetish is now metastasized and it's erupting in violence. A 59% increase in murders in 2021 over 2020. 59% increase. 2020, 46 police officers murdered. In 2021, 73 police officers murdered. And we've got, I don't know, what is the number here? I don't have a number in front of me, but quite a few have already been murdered in 2022, and we're not even through we're not even finished with April yet. Let me see here. We got 17 officers murdered already. 17 officers murdered in 2022. So we've got to pray for our police officers, and that's why we're really honored to be able to honor Jason Johnson, who has really stepped up to try to defend our police officers in the lawful execution of their duties, and God bless them for it. So that's one thing. And, you know, this comes in the wake of Bishop Evans' death. I mean, he wasn't law enforcement per se, but he was kind of serving in a law enforcement role in the Texas National Guard, trying to guard our southern border. And did you all hear, by the way, that Jen Psaki, and I heard this, and it really irked me when I heard it. She basically tried to say he didn't work for the federal government, so it's no concern of ours. Yeah, that's essentially what she said. Yeah, he worked for the state. You know, he worked for those crazy Texans down there. So, you know, they happen to think we're a sovereign country with a border, and they're actually doing something to try to stop illegal immigrants from entering into the country, and one of them got killed doing it. Okay, next issue. I mean, she mouthed, oh, yeah, our hearts go out. But then she said that stuff, and I thought, that's what she really thinks. What she really thinks is, you got no business trying to secure the southern border. We're not securing it. What is he doing securing it? Those crazy Texans down there trying to do something that it's our job to do. So we don't have any responsibility for his death. That's his problem. I tell you, it's despicable, folks. It really is despicable. So there's that. Oh, and here's interesting news. Probably not, it won't make the front pages, but you know, Candace Cameron has left Hallmark, and apparently there's an exodus out of Hallmark by the Christians who've been working for Hallmark who don't want to do the homosexual stuff. Well, maybe that didn't come out quite right. Who don't want to be a part of producing movies and shows that depict homosexuality as if it's normal and right and good and just like everything else. Now, they haven't said that explicitly, but if you read between the lines, That's what they're saying. In fact, the guy who started, I think it's called Great American Country, the Great American Country cable channel. And you'll find it. If you've got a cable network that you use, that you'll probably find it on there. They're just getting started. They just launched last September. They don't have a lot of varieties of programming on. It's going to take them a while to kind of catch up. But they're investing a lot of money in these artists and bringing them over to do great productions that are family-oriented. Right, because a homosexual relationship is not family-oriented from a Judeo-Christian or biblical perspective. So I commend Candace Cameron for being willing to step out. And like I said, she has not been as explicit as I am in talking about this, but she's made clear what her concerns are. And she's made clear that she wants to be involved in producing programming that she feels good about. I'm trying to find the quote here, but here again, you know, you don't have to much read between the lines to understand what she's saying, because basically she said, I want to do programming that, oh, here we go. Here it is. I'm excited to develop heartwarming family and faith-filled programming and make the kind of stories my family and I love to watch. In other words, we don't want to see two men swapping spit. Forgive me. But, you know, we're not interested in that. We want to see wholesome, clean, family-oriented programming that the whole family can sit down and watch without having the kids say, Daddy, what? Okay, let's put that on pause. Let me explain this. No, thank you. No, thank you. So God bless them. I am glad because, and I read some of the comments on the article, by the way, and even though here again, they never explicitly said we don't want to be part of the whole LGBTQ thing that's going on at Hallmark. You could tell from the comments that there were people saying, good, because I'm done with Hallmark. I was watching it, and this is what they shoved in my face, and I said, that's it, I'm done. So I think they've got a lot of viewers who are quite happy that there's going to be an alternative to Hallmark, since Hallmark has decided to yield to the SPCG movement, the Sexual Perversion Child Grooming movement. Folks, I tell you, I had never heard of, had you all heard of Representative Mary Miller from Illinois? I had not. But she apparently just laid into this whole transgender movement and said, it is nothing but rebellion against God. Wow. How often do you hear a congressional representative say that? I'm not saying there aren't others who have not made it clear, but it's rare. It's rare. She said, it is nothing but rebellion against God. In fact, she argued that the debate that she was having was about giving hormones and surgical treatments to children, presumably to bring them into accord with their true inner gender. And she said that is child abuse. And that injecting these children with hormones creates irreversible damage. And PolitiFact, you know, the fact checker said, no, that's not true. It's not irreversible. I'm thinking to myself, well, why would you even debate it? You think the person you're giving the hormone treatment to is another gender, right? So why are you even concerned to say, well, it's not irreversible? You shouldn't be injecting children with hormones like that. Stand by, folks. We'll be back in a moment to take your calls.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
One day, a very rich man came to a friend of his and told him that he was ready to go on vacation. His friend was a contractor, and he gave the man some plans for a house he wanted built while he was on his vacation. The rich man's friend said that he'd be happy to build it, that he would have it completed when the rich man returned from his vacation. The rich man told the contractor not to spare any expense and to build it the best he could, and he'd pay him well. Well, soon after the rich man had gone, the contractor began work on the house. From his experience, he knew that the building was going to run into quite a large sum of money. He began to think about how much money he was going to make. Then, slowly, an idea entered his mind. Why didn't he use some inferior material on the inside structure of the house? I mean, his rich friend wouldn't know the difference, and it'd be 4 or 5 years before the material showed up. So the builder ordered second-grade material to be used in the structure of the house. After a few weeks of work, the contractor saw the building begin to take shape. He thought about how much more money he was going to make since he decided to use the second-rate material. Then, one day, he began to think about how much more money he could make if he used imitation material in finishing the house on the inside and on the outside. He could get some material that looked like first-rate stuff, but would cost considerably less than the best material that the rich man had ordered. The more he thought about that, the better he liked the idea. After all, the rich man had plenty of money, and he was completely ignorant as far as building knowledge went. So he finished the house with inferior material. Soon the rich man returned from his vacation. He called his friend the builder and asked about the house. His friend told him that they had just finished the house and that he would come by and get him if he wished to look it over. The rich man said that he would. Arriving at the new house, the builder began to point out the fine points of the building. He explained to his rich friend that no expense had been spared, that everything in the building was first-rate material. Telling his rich friend what the total cost ran to, he explained that the best materials had run the cost up as opposed to other homes which look similar to this one. The rich man said that he understood and that he had expected to pay more. Then he surprised the builder. "John," he said, "we've been friends for a long time. I've looked for some way to express my love and appreciation for you and your family. I'm getting on in years, and I wanted to do something for you before I die. When we get back to the house, I'm giving you not only a check for the house you have built, but the keys and the deed as well. You see, you built it, John, and now you can live in it." Well, that's the way life is. We build them, and then we have to live in them. That's the reason we should be careful about what we build. You see, there's very little worse in this world than living in a rotten house.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
The number is 888-589-8840. Let's start taking your calls, and I'll be happy to hear from you all what you are thinking. Are you encouraged by Elon Musk buying Twitter? Is that something that you think is going to be good for? I don't know whether I'm going to go back on Twitter or not, but I'll tell you what, if he fulfills what he says, it's got to be better than what we've got, because when you've got the president of the United States, former President Trump, banned from Twitter, but you've got the Iranian mullah, you've got the Taliban, you've got all kinds of crazy people who are perfectly free to spew their garbage. And by the way, they are, as far as I'm concerned. But I can't say what I want to say on Twitter, and the former President Trump can't say what he wants to say on Twitter, and Charlie Kirk can't say what he wants to say on Twitter, because we're considered dangerous. We're in violation of policy. So it can't possibly be worse. In fact, I think a couple of people have already said, I think Tucker Carlson's one of them, already said he's gone back on Twitter already. So here again, can't be a bad thing. 888-589-8840 is the number. One other thing I want to put on the table, and that is, now you all know that I did graduate from Harvard Law School. I got to Harvard Law School when I was in 1975. I was not ideologically sophisticated, well-formed, hadn't thought things through. I leaned conservative. That's about the best I can say. But I wasn't paying much attention to any of that. I did not get involved with Derrick Bell and some of these radical elements, the critical legal studies on campus. I had no interest in that stuff. But I couldn't say I was a bona fide, strong conservative. That didn't happen until I got saved. And then I started realizing the values the Bible teaches. And my true sort of political perspective began to take shape at that point because it was shaped by the Word of God. But Harvard, of course, has completely gone off the deep end. I think I may have told you all this. If I didn't, let me try to tell you this in a way that doesn't offend our family-oriented sensibilities on this network. But Harvard Divinity School, for example, once did a display, and I was part of protesting against it, in the lobby of Harvard Divinity School called Sacred Condoms. Yes, I'm not making it up, folks. And they actually made religious icons out of prophylactics. Harvard Divinity School. I mean, just goes how crazy they are. And by the way, folks, this was 20 years ago. Yeah, the school that John Harvard started to teach ministers. Well, Harvard also, the Harvard Symposium, as you all know, came out with this birthing persons concept. There's no such thing as pregnant women because we all know that men can have babies too. So we will now refer to them as birthing persons. Yeah, that's a Harvard idea. And by the way, did you all know that Harvard also made history by appointing the first chaplain who is also an atheist? Not making it up, folks. The chaplain of Harvard is an atheist. He denies the existence of God. And you say, well, what is he chaplaining? But it's true. Well, now they've taken another step in the same crazy direction. They've set aside $100 million of Harvard funds for slavery reparations. Because apparently some slaves had something to do with Harvard in the early days and did some work there and all of that. They're long dead. Who knows who their ancestors are? They've got their own lives. This stuff is insane. I tell you what, Thomas Sowell is right. The intellectual class can destroy a country. They really can. They can destroy a country. And because they come up with these ideas and they poison the culture with it, and people start to buy into it. And before you know it, the whole culture is turning in on itself, turning against itself. That's what he argues, and I've heard other historians make the same case, that that's what happened to France and why France fell in 6 weeks, because France had already rotted from within because of all the anti-France ideology that people were being taught in the colleges and universities and by all these so-called intelligentsia. 888-589-8840. Let's get some of your calls in before we go to a break. Let's go to Mary in Kansas. Mary, welcome.
Thank you. I was just going to ask people. I've been calling all representatives from the different border states like Arizona, Nebraska. Mexico is on fire. Texas is being overloaded. And northern border, North Dakota, is having a disaster and stuff. So I've just been calling representatives from the Republican states and asking them to talk to the governors and everybody get a lawsuit against Joe Biden and his cronies and say that we cannot take any more people. We have drought, and we need a sanctuary states that are safe, and we can't take anybody else. So I'm just asking people to call their representatives and other representatives and give that opinion if they agree with me. I hope I explained that right. Thank you.
Mary, you did. God bless you, Mary. You explained it just fine, and I agree with you. And by the way, I would go one step further. I would say tell them that as soon as Republicans take over the House and the Senate, prepare to bring articles of impeachment against Joe Biden for violating his oath of office because he is not enforcing the laws of our country. And he's supposed to faithfully execute them. He's not executing them at all. So, but look, I agree. In the meantime, sue him. Do something to try to get him to stop this suicidal policy that he has at our border. Thank you for the call, Mary. Let's go to Joshua in Georgia. Joshua, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop Jackson, for taking my call. Congratulations on you having a grandchild named Joy.
Thank you.
Lord comes,
thank you,
we'll
sir.
Have to journey far.
Amen. And she's in Georgia. That's right.
All right. My question is, are you sure, given what happened 2020, that we're going to have a conservative president in 2024?
Well, sure. I would say this. I am 99% certain. And I'll tell you why, Joshua. I'm 99% certain because I think that they can't help themselves. They're going to keep, they meaning the Democrat Party and the left, they're going to keep going further and further and further off the rail. I mean, look, how do you think the American people feel right now about the fact that they want to maintain mask wearing on our transportation systems, but they want to allow illegal immigrants to come into our country without having to be deported because they're not tested for COVID. They're not COVID free. We don't know who they are. No, no, no. They want them to flood on across. But we Americans, no, no, no. We are still in an emergency. I think the American people just had it, Joshua. And that and the fact that I think everybody understands that you've got to be vigilant at these polls. You can't assume that people aren't going to cheat. You have to assume that they are. They're going to try, and that we've got to be there to stop them. We did it in Virginia, Joshua. I think we can do it across the country. Thanks so much for the call. Let's try to get one more in. Let's go to Jeff in Missouri. Jeff, welcome.
Nice to talk to you, Bishop Jackson.
Thank you, sir.
I've been doing a lot of tweeting, a lot of Facebooking for over a year now. That how I was wondering why our mass media people, because there's probably 100,000 or more of them that work in NBC, CBS, and all of them on, you know, Twitter and Facebook all across the country. That I was amazed that they were so foolish as to back a Democrat Party who basically is socialist / communist. And they need to look at Russia, where there's only like 10 or 15 news personalities across the whole nation. Because when you're a communist government, it's a lot easier to control 10 or 15 people, which means you would just line up and shoot the other 99,585, you know? So I'm also thinking that, you know, it's I'm so glad that I've never heard you call our country a democracy, because our founding fathers said that a democracy was the most desperate form of government that there is. Because if 51% of the people think murder and rape is fine, then it becomes legal. There's no moral basis to a democracy. It's majority wins and rules, no matter how perverted they are.
Jeff, thank you so much for the call. You are 100% on point. Right. You won't hear me refer to our country as a democracy, because the father of our Constitution specifically said in Federalist Paper number 10, we don't want a democracy. We want a republic. We are a constitutional republic. Back in a moment to take more of your calls.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us. When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Judy Goodell and her husband set up a charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation.
What we love about it is that it represents stewardship principles that we feel strongly about. So we got very, very excited about this opportunity.
With a charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation, an AFA supporter can guarantee a permanent monthly income, as well as supporting the American Family Association for years to come.
We do feel convicted about really praying about all that God has really blessed us with. And so many people we know just want to leave it all to their kids. And we know the danger of that. And so we just are really just trying to pray through it. And God gave us great confirmation as we prayed that this would be a good use of the Lord's money.
Find out if a charitable gift annuity is right for you at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net.
Well, the good news is it's never too late. And His grace covers a multitude of sin.
When it comes to healing a relationship, God can make it happen, as Mark Batterson reminds us on Focus on the Family Minute.
He's the God who brings reconciliation. He's the God of second chances. And so here's what I believe. Start praying for that son. Maybe even just with complete transparency, admit the mistakes that you made. That might even be the first step to kind of bring that reconciliation. And I tell you what, there's still a longing in that child for a father's blessing, for a father's love. And you step up and begin to do that now. And I believe it can change that circumstance and bring healing and bring wholeness.
Hear more from Mark at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Yeah, if I have an opportunity in this segment, I'll tell you a quick story. I won't do it right now. I want to get back to your calls about this whole issue of reparations, making up for all of the injustices of the past and all of this nonsense. Each individual is born into a particular time and circumstance. It's up to you to make the most of that time and circumstance. I was not born a Rockefeller. I was not born a Gates. Neither were any of you. We were born into whatever circumstance we were born into. And if we're taught the proper values, take responsibility for your own actions, work hard, do the very best you can with every task you're assigned to do, be honest with people, be forthright, don't commit crimes, don't go out and hurt and take advantage of other people, and study to show yourself approved unto God. In other words, follow biblical values. Don't father children that you can't take care of and whose mothers you don't want to marry and leave them abandoned. But take responsibility as a father, as a mother, to raise children up properly with good and decent values. You know, you do all those things, and guess what? Life in America can be exceedingly good. 888-589-8840. That wasn't the story, but that just kind of popped out. Let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Lisa in Texas. Lisa, welcome.
Thank you so much, Bishop. I was just following up on the caller who was asking about whether or not we think that the Dems will cheat in the upcoming 22 and 24 elections. And, you know, the reason Virginia turned out the way it did wasn't just because more people voted, but because churches and pastors got organized at the grassroots level months before. They had poll watchers in place. They had election officials trained. And, you know, that's what is going to be difficult. You know, we have to overcome the margin of cheat. And so that is what is going to be so important, is not just showing up, but coming, you know, going ahead and becoming a volunteer poll watcher, or, you know, getting official, you know, becoming an official
up
for election polls. Exactly.
Right.
That is
signing up
Virginia
to be an election officer. Yes.
Yes. So that was, I think it's just so important that we organize on a grassroots level like the leftists have been doing for 80 years.
Amen, Lisa, and thank you for the call. Folks, I think we should assume that they have cheated, they do cheat, and they will cheat. I think we should really, because look, they don't have a moral frame of reference like you and I do. And I'm not saying that to put them down. It's just the truth. They don't. They don't. I wouldn't cheat to win an election because it's wrong. And I've got to answer to God for that. They don't have those compunctions. They figure, well, if it gets me what I want, the utopia that I'm going to bring to you all, you'll be happy that I cheated. I mean, I think that's their mindset. So we should assume they're going to cheat. And you're right, Lisa, prepare for it, organize for it, and be ready to combat it so that we can win elections legitimately rather than having them steal them. We've also got Janet in Texas. Janet, welcome.
Yes. First of all, I just want to say thank you for the stand you take in American Family Radio, and thank the Lord for the good donations. That amount is a blessing.
Thank you,
but,
Janet.
Another thing is I want to give a shout-out to Candace Cameron and her Christian friends that have been making movies for Hallmark all this time. Now, what did you say? They're going to go to another network, is that right?
She's already signed up for another network. It's called the Great American Country Network, GAC, the Great American Country Network. And they've got two networks split. I checked our cable provider and they're on. They just don't have a big variety of programming yet. They're running a lot of reruns, Who's the Boss and Full House and Fuller House and that kind of thing, because they're just getting started. But she's signed on with them to produce some movies and features and whatnot. So, yes, there's a network that is going to compete with Hallmark, that is going to remain family-friendly and someplace that Christians can watch without being, you know, kind of, you know, covering the eyes of your children. So, all right. Thank you for the call, Janet. Appreciate it. Let's go to, you've been waiting very patiently. Let's go to Paul in Georgia. Paul, welcome.
Hi there. I just want to say I'm now a fan for reparations. I think Harvard University ought to give the $100 million to A.W. Jackson and his ministry. And whatever you have left in 2024, I'd like President Trump to run with you, and you can spend the rest. Two of you elected. He's been elected twice. He will be the first time that we have a three-time. He won 16, he won in 20, even though they stole it, and he will win in 24 with God's help. And I think that's going to be the change that we're going to see, the miracle election again, the miracle the first time and the miracle the third time. And the two of you will do a great job in Washington.
Well, Paul, thank you very much. My first endorsement as Vice President of the United States. Oh, boy. Well, all I can say, Paul, is I hope my wife is not listening, because you just went on her bad list because she doesn't want me getting anywhere near running for office. But I know what you're saying, Paul, and I appreciate it. Look, I don't, here again, President Trump has not officially announced whether he will run again. He might. There are those who think he might not, that he might get behind someone else. But I really believe that there's going to be a good, strong, conservative president, him or someone else, come 2024. Thank you so much for the call and the humor. I don't think Harvard's about to write me a check for $100 million. But I would say that if it comes, I will cash it. Yes, indeed. And put it to every conservative cause I can think of. But I don't think there's any danger of that. Thanks so much for the call, Paul. Let's go to Art in Arkansas. Just left Arkansas. Art, welcome.
Well, hey, hi, Bishop. How are you?
I am blessed, Art. How are you?
Hey, Vice President Jackson. Sounds great, doesn't it? First-time caller, long-time listener. Thank you for your service in the military. Thank you for your service, sir. On this great radio station. I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but, Hillary had servers out in Colorado, wherever they may be. And I believe that Obama is the only president that has stayed in Washington, D.C., built a house and stayed in Washington, D.C.
Yep.
Now, if you remember, just about a month ago or so, he was at the White House doing his big old spill and everything, and nobody was paying attention to Mr. Biden. I don't want to call him president, but Mr. Biden. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, you know, is there servers in that Washington, D.C. house of President Obama's, and he's really running the country, and you know, dumb brain Mr. Biden? Because he certainly isn't running this country. You know, I just, something to think about. I come across that in my mind the other day. Somebody was saying that Obama was the only president that actually stayed in Washington, D.C. Why? Why is he, why is he there?
Art, thank you so much for the call. And Art, I don't think that's a conspiracy theory, to tell you the truth, Art. And look, I don't bet, I don't gamble at all. But if I did, I would bet that Obama is running the country, that Obama is dictating. Now, I don't think he's the ultimate authority. I think you've got a bunch of oligarchs, George Soros and others, who are funding all this stuff, who are behind the scenes pulling all their strings. But I think Obama is the one who's pulling Biden's strings. And to me, that's not a conspiracy theory. It's just that, you know, Obama's the one who sort of put him there by making him vice president. Obama, you're right, stayed in Washington, D.C., which I always thought was a major problem. Why would a president do that? Why would you hover over the next president's in office? But that's because the man loves power. And he needs to be close to it. That's what he lives for. That's what they all live for, power over other people. Thanks so much for the call, Art. Let's get a couple more in here before we have to go. Let's go to Larry in Illinois. Larry, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for your service to our great country, and thank you for your service to the kingdom of God through this great radio program.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. I heard you comment earlier about an Illinois legislator that made a comment that this transgenderism, teaching it to kids, is child abuse and it's rebellion against God.
Rebellion against God.
I'm from Illinois.
Yes.
I didn't catch their name.
Representative Mary Miller.
Mary Miller. Well, I'm going to have to find out where her office is at in the state of Illinois and call her and thank her. She's
yes,
not my
indeed.
Representative, apparently, but. My goodness. Hey.
It doesn't say what district she represents, but it does name her as a representative from the state of Illinois. I didn't even know they had representatives from Illinois. I like to think like that. So God bless her, because she is a standout.
Amen. I'll tell you, I know one other godly representative from the state of Illinois. Most of them, I won't even mention their names. Oh my gosh. But
okay. All right. Well, listen. Thank you for the call, my friend. Let's see if we can get one more in before we have to go. We've got John in Arkansas. John, welcome.
Good day, Bishop. What I was calling for is calling to say I realize that they all went for the big polls last time trying to help cheat. I believe they're going to go to the smaller towns this time and that they're going to try to help cheat in the smaller towns this time because they think we ain't watching there.
Well, you know what, John? They're in for a rude awakening, because I think our rural communities across this country are going to be loaded for bear. I mean, they're going to be ready. And I don't think they're going to put up with shenanigans at their polling places. And folks all over the country, that's the attitude you've got to have. And I'm here again. I'm not talking about violence, but I'm talking about aggressive standing up. As I said, stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. You know, you are not stealing these elections from us. You are not destroying our country. We're not going to have it. Look, God bless each and every one of you. Thank you all so much for your calls, your prayers, everything. We really appreciate you, and we love you. So be praying for us, because we certainly need your prayers and support. And in the meantime, folks, keep at it, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.